Everybody, welcome to Friday Sports Line's Bulldog Hour. Kevin Moore alongside, as always, take you to 3 and about our good friend Phil Bonatti. His outstanding show. Buying the bench the full 3 hours today. Hockey over on 790. Huge football weekend for us, of course, with the two conference championship games coming up on Sunday. I'll tell you all about the schedule for both 1430 and 790 a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioneng.net or precisioneng.net if you'd prefer. However it is most practical for you to get to the website, that's all we care about. And when we go over the schedules, we will also talk about the great fundraising that Ed does for his alma mater, Fresno State, through the Lyles College of Engineering. Jackson with me today. A lot to talk about, breaking news college-wise about the 12-team playoff, also about the patches that can be put on jerseys, which could generate a lot more revenue for certain schools. We'll get to that. We'll also preview Fresno State and Grand Canyon tomorrow. It's a doubleheader, by the way, with the women playing first against Colorado State at 2 in the minute, 4:30 against Grand Canyon. We'll get to everything with Jackson, our de facto co-host, in just a couple of minutes. But first, our other lead dogs, as they do every day, want to spend some time with you. With the weather the way it is, I do want to spend a little bit of time warning you about the fog when we get to the weather for Lee's. Before that, our friends at KFC, regardless of the weather, and it's actually sunny today, they would like you to stop by, provided it's not so foggy that you can't see out there for the drive-thru. They'd like you to stop by and pick up at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, the new Zinger Chicken Sandwich. It's a crispy hand-breaded chicken filet seasoned just right and served hot on a toasted bun with cool crisp lettuce and creamy sauce. It hits every craving. It's bold, it's spicy, and since it's at KFC, it's always finger-licking good. So whether you crave the spice or just crave a great taste, the Zinger delivers that with the delicious KFC crunch we've known throughout the years. So don't delay. Hop on in to one of the KFCs right now and get the Zinger chicken sandwich. If you don't want to hop, you can walk in, or you can drive. Don't drive through the facility unless you're, of course, at the drive-thru itself, and pick up the Zinger chicken sandwich. Also, the KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman have the long-running $10 eight-piece or eight-tender offer. They have offers for the country fried steak during the week for their $5 bowls. They have got the chicken pot pies. Great food, as always, at KFC. National, international, local company. And we really appreciate everything the local operators do supporting athletics throughout the valley. So if you stop on in, tell them thanks when you stop by Fresno, Clovis, Selma, or Kerman in those KFCs. So anyway, thanks to everybody at KFC. And now to the weather. As I mentioned, fog, and it's going to be foggy again. We finally have the sun breaking out pretty well right now. We talked about the modeling and all of that stuff that the meteorologists, who know what they're talking about, as opposed to me, who was just passing things along, we'll warn you about next week, and that is it looks like our next chance for rain is next Wednesday. That was on the docket, but then the modeling and the verification wasn't evidently there yet, so they pulled that off, and now they say, you know what, it may be back again, so let's try it this way. We're not likely to get any rain before Wednesday, and we may or may not get rain on Wednesday. As far as the forecast goes, temperature-wise, 58 today with a low of 45, a dense fog advisory until 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. The same is going to apply, I think, throughout the weekend. A 55 on Saturday after the 58 today, 56 Sunday, 62 on Monday, 60 on Tuesday, 66 Wednesday, and 65 on Thursday. That's how it looks. And again, the dense fog figures to be with us for sure over the next couple of days. And always at this time of year in the outlying areas, it's problematic at best. So anyway, I thank everybody at Lee's for allowing the time. As always, great local people. Been in the Central Valley since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them in to do work even during COVID. Really, really professional people. Very competitive pricing. Can always reach them on the Lee's location website-wise, leesair.com, or give a call, at 825-5337, 825-LEES, anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing. Also, they sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. That's how I bring my guests up, how Jackson brings up his guests and callers from the general public. So mark that down, the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. One other reminder as we move forward here, and that is when Fresno State plays tomorrow, 2 and 4:30, be aware by the time the men's game is over with, that if you're coming from the outlying areas, you might want to make sure you can get back in the car and heading back home. Our pal Gary went to the game last week, and I had talked to him. He lives up in Atwater. I had talked to him before the game, the Wyoming game, and he said, you know what, I think it'll be okay to get home. And then I think it was like 10 minutes to go in the game, and the fog really came in big time, and so he was able to get home okay, but you just never know, particularly if you're traveling anywhere in the outlying areas. So be really careful and don't delay. If there are people you need to talk to around Fresno State, try to do it before the game and not after, so you can get back in the car and head home. All right. Thanks, everybody, at Lee's, for allowing us the time about the weather. Thanks to our friends at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. I'll tell you more about the schedules for both stations a little bit later on. Right now, all that having been said, we turn to our de facto co-host, the king of all he surveys, the master of disaster, the Bark Boy himself. It is Sir Jackson Moore, barkboard.com. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
I've done, you know what? I've done shows where I've been more uplifted than today. All right. My beloved Warriors have me thoroughly depressed. All right. First, Jimmy Butler goes down. Then I say, okay, they're going to play Kuminga at least. And then Kuminga steps on somebody's foot last night, hyperextends his knee, sprains his ankle. Jackson, I believe from what I understand, you are starting at small forward for the Warriors tomorrow night in Minneapolis, where, by the way, it is -8 degrees as the high. And the Warriors have two games there, that old baseball series set up the NBA has now, where you know, you play twice in the city before you leave. They're going to be there for 5 days, Jackson, at -8. So have you put your long johns on so you can start at small forward? Because I don't like our chances with you in the starting lineup. Don't take it personally, okay?
I'm going to be throwing a couple games here since Memphis is 5 games back. Help them catch up a little bit.
Believe me. No, don't take this wrong. I know you were a fine player at Clovis East, but you don't need to deliberately throw games if they put you in an NBA roster, right? I don't think it's a problem about throwing the games. I think it'll take care of itself. By the way, there's a lot to talk about today, but since I started there, real quick, about Giannis yesterday when I was talking with Matt Norville about this, and I brought up the fact that an offer had been made with Draymond Green, or proposition by Bobby Marks, front office executive of prior years with the Nets, of Draymond Green and Buddy Hield, in addition to Kuminga. And Matt had said to me yesterday, I don't know that the Bucks would go for that. Never mind, Giannis has to sign off on it, because if Giannis isn't going to guarantee if he's going to get moved from Milwaukee, not going to guarantee that he's going to sign long-term. Nobody's going to spend the kind of capital, draft picks, and players they have to get him. That's a given. But Matt had brought up, would Milwaukee go for it? What Milwaukee wants to do, the players, except for one, meaning in this case it'd be Kuminga, they're not worried about the other players. Those players, Green and Hield, would be there to balance the money, because you have to, otherwise the Warriors get into that second apron. What they would be looking for is what OKC did, where they picked up Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with his potential, and more importantly, from the Clippers, number one draft choices. That's what Milwaukee would be looking for, and I want to make that clear. It's not so much are the three players of worth, it is would Kuminga be a guy who could become what we think he might be, which is great, and we get draft choices, number one choices, so we can build our roster and build a club. That's what OKC did, and they've ended up winning a title and may win more. That's the reason that came about. All right, Jackson, let's get started here about the news from the NCAA right off the top here. First, the 12-team playoff, certainly not to my surprise, you and I talked about this, will stay in place for next year. You know, we had talked Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, and Tony Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner, they were empowered by the other of the aristocracy, if you will, the P4, along with Bavakwa, the AD at Notre Dame, to make a decision about whether they would expand beyond 12 next year. And to get to 16, which is what Sankey wanted to do, Petitti said, you want to do that? Guarantee us in the Big Ten that we will go to 24 in about 3 years. And Sankey said, how about, well, I'll guarantee you we'll look at it in 3 years. And Petitti said, not good enough. I want a guarantee. And ultimately, they decided they're going to wait on that. They're going to move forward with the 12-team playoff. So we're going to have what we had this year, except Notre Dame now, if they are in the top 12, they will be in. If they had that rule this year, Miami, incredibly, would not have made it. But it also means that, once again, the conference champions of the P4s, those four teams guaranteed in, and the top-ranked conference champion of the group of six will get in. But again, the seedings will not be guaranteed. They'll just guarantee that you get in, and then they'll seed from there. I'll start with this, Jackson. Are you surprised that this got tabled? I'm not, because I don't think there was any way Sankey was going to go forward with this, or at least Petitti wasn't going to go to 24 without a guarantee, and there was no way Sankey was going to give him that guarantee in 3 years. Are you surprised at all we are going to stay with status quo, at least for next year?
Yeah, I'm not. It was almost humorous during the championship on Monday here, and I'm talking about the deadline for any changes is on Friday, but no one's come to any agreement. So it was already getting down to the wire, and it seemed like there was, you know, the two main sides of this thing were so far apart that it wasn't going to be anything significant. So not surprised, and also not surprised by the more minor rule of the four Power Four teams getting in and the one group of six champ. Takes a little bit of power away from the group of six, seeing as they got two in this year. And
right.
Could have theoretically just about any season, probably would have happened every so often, but also those teams didn't do a whole lot with it, and we're seeing the kind of the power structure has changed pretty dramatically in the last couple of years, to where I think a group of five champion facing a number five or number six team in the country would have been a lot more competitive just a few years ago compared to where it is now. So I think at least that's one thing going here with these ever-changing playoff rules, is that if the pendulum does swing, maybe they'll address it and give more access. But just waiting to see how exclusive they make this 16 or 24 team or down the road, if it's going to be a free-for-all or if they're going to hoard all the spots for the Power Two, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, you're right, and it seems that James Madison's entrance really stuck in the craw of the P4s. That they were really, that was the one that just irritated them to no ends. The other thing is, as we've talked over and over again, we know ultimately we're headed to massive expansion when we get through these existing contracts. Also, ESPN has the exclusive window right now for the college football playoffs, so extra games won't necessarily generate the kind of revenue it will if they add those extra games, extra teams, extra games at the time that they're renegotiating the contract. And so it's, once again, all about money. And speaking of that, Jackson, since we will wait to see in 2030, 2031, whether we get, you know, as we've talked before, two main tiers and a lesser tier below it, or if we're going to actually get, as we, you and I have discussed, a multiplicity of tiers based upon an association of a conference or conferences that agree that they'll contest some sort of championship after the fact with a minimum and maximum salary window the way the NFL has it. So you might have two or three conferences that get together, or maybe a singular conference that expands greatly, and they just play within their own rules to try to keep some sort of balance with the monies. We'll see about that. One of the things today that will imbalance the money again is the NCAA did approve the patches now as of August 1 that you can put on the jerseys, up to two patches can be put on, and they have a set size for those patches, so they can't be overwhelmingly large. But Jackson, there are NBA teams using the patches. For instance, the Warriors, with their association that they've had with Rakuten, which is a Japanese company, for years now, so much so that when the Warriors moved back to San Francisco, I say back to San Francisco because when the Warriors moved from Philadelphia in 1962, the Warriors were the San Francisco Warriors when they arrived on the coast. When they couldn't find a facility to play in, they were able to play in the Coliseum Arena in Oakland. They called themselves the Golden State Warriors because they were going to play all across the Bay Area, and also the plan was to play some of their schedule in San Diego. So they were going to become California's team, if you will. The thought when they built Chase Center was they were going to revert back to being the San Francisco Warriors, except they had won three titles. Of course, the fourth one they won in 2022. They were at Chase Center. They won those three titles from 15-16 on and became so popular that Rakuten said, don't change the marketing. Internationally, you're known as the Golden State Warriors, so please keep it that way. That's why the team in the WNBA, the Valkyries, they are also the Golden State Valkyries, not the San Francisco Valkyries. I bring this up, Jackson, because the Warriors are one of the teams making eight figures off of these patches. How big a disparity could we now see in what is already an unbalanced situation if the major college schools are able to tie into corporate entities and make huge sums of money with patches on jerseys? How much more are we going to exacerbate this already difficult situation between the haves and the have-nots?
Yeah, I mean, just simply, and there's going to be a market value for the teams with the biggest brands and the biggest TV eyeballs, and those are probably going to be the most valuable ones. And so you're going to get a big influx of money there, and it's going to trickle slower and smaller down as you go down the totem pole of college football. So it's going to be another revenue stream that is very unbalanced. I think probably the first thing that comes to my mind when I hear this is just the aesthetics. As someone who's been a college football fan for so long, it's I'm not exactly thrilled we're going to see advertisements on jerseys, but I know it's going to be a critical revenue source, as was the ability to put ads on the field this past year or two, and this will just add to that and help with the revenue sharing and everything, and add more resources for every program, even if it's going to be less than others. But it would be nice if the advertisers or someone that have some sort of valley connection that could add to the pride of the uniform and be somewhat of a feel-good story instead of just some random company that has no ties to the valley and kind of just stinks up the aesthetics of the uniform.
Well, I certainly understand that point of view. I will tell you, if there is a major benefactor and they can benefit a program, the football program or the basketball program or just the university as a whole athletically, if they don't have ties here, but they, for whatever the reason, want the involvement, you know, I think we would all welcome it as long as it's, you know, not something that would be semi-embarrassing. I will tell you this, Jackson, when this goes back a long time ago, like to, my goodness, start of the 70s, I guess, our Babe Ruth team, which was a really good team, had ended up winning a championship throughout the state. We didn't have a sponsor, you know, everybody else did. And so we went with uniforms that had, they just, we were in our grays and that was it, but there was no, you had a little, opening where you had put, everybody else had put, you know, Venda or whatever it is, whether their sponsor might've been firefighters, union, whatever it might've been. For us, it was just blank, right? Just a piece of cloth. It was blank. But we were winning a lot. And the coach came and he said, I've got good news and bad news for you. And they said, well, we said, what's that? He said, well, the good news is we've got a sponsor. So I'm great. The bad news is it's my wife's company. You're now known as Home Interiors and Gifts. Okay. So you had like firefighters, Vendo, you know what I mean, this, you know, and then we were Home Interiors and Gifts, and the thing they put on the flannels, because it was always good wearing flannels, by the way, in the Fresno, California in July playing baseball. A real treat. You could die of heat prostration on your way to the game, right? But then somebody washed all of them together without color fasting them, so all of our uniforms turned pink. So we had pink uniforms, and we were home interiors and gifts. Then we went and won everything, but still, it was a very difficult row to hoe, is what I'm telling you. So you don't want to have something that's laughable, but you do want to generate money. So when we talk about hedge fund investment and whatever, do you see some sort of Wall Street potential for Fresno State somewhere, some sort of Silicon Valley potential?
I think they're trying to mine that avenue and see what they can find. It might be a little bit of traction going on there behind the scenes, and that's one thing, as mentioned, if it's something like that that comes upon those uniforms, and it's certainly going to be welcomed if it comes with a whole lot of money. Just it's a different landscape right now, and a lot of programs are trying a lot of different avenues, and that might be one way for the Bulldogs to kind of get their foot in the door here with some more dollars.
We'll see what happens, and as always, when you upset the ecosystem, there are unforeseen problems, and one of the problems they're going to have is that, again, beginning August 1, you can have up to two patches on your jerseys, and it can generate, as I was mentioning, a substantial amount of money. The however in this is when they get to postseason, talking about March Madness, talking about the college football playoff and football, etc., those rights for that kind of marketing belong outside of the jurisdiction of the schools, which means if the NCAA has signed a deal, an exclusive deal, for instance, with Pizza Hut for something, you can't go have a Domino's patch on your jersey, even though it might have been there all year long. That's going to get interesting, Jackson, because you're going to have some schools that are going to make deals that come in direct conflict, and at the time of year when that particular benefactor wants their product to be front and center, they're going to be told in the most eyeball-heavy time of the year, it can't be on there. One more time that the lawyers are going to be very busy, correct?
Yeah, and that gets to a whole nother complication. So I don't know if you have one of those deals, if you lose out on your money from not having those patches on during that time, or how that'll work. So a lot of additional hurdles here to figure out.
Well, and I would be let's put it this way. I would be irresponsible to not point out what you're already thinking right now. This sounds familiar because this is exactly what has happened at Fresno State between competing entities. We've seen it happen with a broadcast entity vis-a-vis what has gone on with a hospital entity in this area, and then the inherent conflict. So we know firsthand what this is all about, right?
Yeah. You get money from one source, and it could potentially erase some money from another source. And
that's correct.
You got to make sure you balance all the different avenues as you move forward with something like this.
Well, the first order of business for Fresno State will be to acquire those patches, and hopefully they are going to benefit the school. I know in big boy financial land, it's certainly going to be very, very beneficial, because if you have the proper branding and you've got the right corporate sponsors around you, they're willing to spend a ton of money to have their particular business or whatever the corporation image they want presented each and every moment that that team is on the field to play, whatever it might be. So we'll see. Again, more crazy stuff from the NCAA. It's never going to end, evidently. And balancing the playing field and having the pendulum swing properly, because it always goes too far in one direction and then too far in the other direction. Get that settled back in the middle is going to be quite a challenge. And as you and I have talked over and over again, maybe Congress can grow a pair here and can get together and say it's important enough to get legislation through, even if some of your constituents in certain areas of the country are not particularly wild about the idea. It's called fairness. Maybe they ought to look it up. That's my thought about it. Okay, that's enough of that. All right. Jackson, comings and goings for Fresno State. We talked that the portal was done, but there was still a lot of paperwork to be done. Anything new in portal land, or just guys coming aboard, period, irrespective of portal?
Yeah, it should be incoming commits only now. And so there was a little bit of concern just because the portal deadline ended last Friday, but it was going to kind of linger around till as late as Wednesday with the 48-hour business time to process some of that stuff. And a lot of Bulldogs put out their statement that they were coming back, but there was a few key guys that hadn't said anything publicly, and they're still around. And it appears the window for them to not be around is officially closed now. So the Bulldog roster pretty much stays intact, other than losing Richie Anderson as far as the starting lineup's concerned. And there'll be no spring portal window, and we'll see if and how players might be able to get out of their programs the rest of this offseason. I'm sure some players will find a way, but at least on paper, that part of the calendar is concluded. So Bulldogs are in good shape, and now they're just continuing to add. We saw earlier this week Pat Barnett, an offensive lineman from UCF, committed to the Bulldogs, as well as a junior college offensive lineman, Bodie Stoddard, who the Bulldogs had wanted for a couple of months now, and finally sealed the deal on that recruitment. So getting some players into the trenches. They added Corey Stewart, a defensive back, earlier this week as well, who has ties with Simeon Harris from the San Benicia High School. So a couple of pieces here late, and there's still a little bit of time for them to add some more players. School is underway now, but still a little bit of wiggle room to get players in for this semester.
As you now take a look at this, the sum total here, good, bad, pleasantly surprised that it turned out this way? Did you anticipate, and I'm not minimizing Richie Anderson, he's a very good player, that loss is certainly going to be felt, but the overview of this thing, is it a surprise that the Bulldogs were not hit harder, or did you anticipate it being kind of this way?
I'm surprised that it was this minimal. I thought Fresno State was kind of being a sweet spot where most of the star players on defense graduated, so a lot of guys, if they would have had more eligibility, might have been poached, but it wasn't going to be the case here. And then offensively, not a huge statistical team, and even within the stats the Bulldogs had, it was very spread out, even within the receiver and running back unit. So I didn't think there was going to be a lot of skills players that were targeted because of their stats, but to only lose one is pretty remarkable. I mean, you can have Jaden Davis in there, who maybe might have been a potential starter next season. I know him and Ethan Tierney were basically at the same spot, and Tierney had a leg up, which I think is why that situation played out the way it did. But really only two guys on the depth chart that you're missing going into next year. That's really unheard of. You look around the Pac-12 and schools that Fresno State's moving with or joining, and a lot of teams are losing a lot of pieces. You look down their lists, and there's usually five or six guys at minimum that are headed to Power Four schools. Even the schools that had minimal movement, like your Boise State, perhaps, I think they only had about 15 exits, but there was about four or five pretty significant players within that group. So Bulldogs are pretty lucky there. And I think there were players that were of quality, even maybe without the statistics, like Richie Anderson. I think a lot of what made him so attractive was his potential for Power Four schools. And yeah, players like Jason Jacks, I think, who I think he could play at that level. And I think schools could have thrown him some offers, and for whatever reason, either he turned them down or it didn't happen. And other players like Simeon Harris, who's got strong Bulldog ties to stick around, and Bryson Donaldson being local, and Rayshon Speedy Luke having program ties. It just seemed like the ones that were at risk potentially had some reasons to stay. And that's going to be a key as far as building this roster long term. Or you either have to have players that have a reason to stay, or you got to be so good developmentally, which is what Coach Ince is shooting for here, that you have players ready to go when you do lose your top tier guys.
You know, we talk in Major League Baseball all the time about the difficulty certain places signing free agents. The Giants have this problem with everyday players because it's a difficult park, whatever you want to call it, from the days of Pac Bell to SBC and every other name, of course, Oracle as of late. But and even though that they moved the fence in center field, they did that in right center and center field a little bit simply because they needed to put the bullpen there. Otherwise, the bullpens were in the field to play, at least not inside the foul lines, but pretty damn close to it, right? But it meant that a lot of offensive players, guys that want those kind of stats, those kind of numbers, that they're a little hesitant to come and play in San Francisco where the weather is a little bit cooler and the park itself is a difficult home run park. The upside is pitchers like to come there for the very reason the hitters are not always comfortable. Jackson, I bring this up because we talk at Fresno State now about, well, okay, they're run oriented, so maybe the big time gunslinger looking quarterback who's a little under the radar may not want to come here simply because he's not going to be able to throw the ball all over the lot. But the flip side is, do you think there is a little bit more of a proclivity for linemen, offensive linemen in particular, to maybe come here? Because we always talk about offensive linemen love to drive block. You know, they don't mind pass blocking, but when you pass block, you're catching people coming at you, so you're necessarily passive in that regard, where when you're drive blocking, you're out of your stance and you're trying to knock somebody on his ass, and so it's a lot more fun. Does it mean that this style, while it might not appeal sometimes to quarterbacks, for instance, it does appeal to linemen a little bit more?
I think there's probably a specific category of those opportunities, and you know, Pat Barnett might be one of those guys. He's going to be a seventh-year senior coming in. He spent 6 years at UCF, had a red shirt, had an injury while he was there, and I think you can probably pitch to a guy like that. Hey, just players in our own program at Fresno State with Roland Fullwood and Julian Polendo, who were here for a long time, didn't see much action. You know, we switched to this offense that suited them a lot better, and they were very successful within it. So maybe, you know, that's something that could convince a guy like that to come in. I think in general, you know, especially with the way the O-line market is, I think finances are still a big deal there. It's just a pretty big gap. You know, the Power Conference schools are able to not only offer a lot, but to a lot of them, you know, they're going to bring 10-plus guys at a pretty decent financial number and have them all compete. So it makes it tough to try to get into that picture. I think probably in a year or two when the Bulldogs need to reload at running back, they can definitely say, look at this offense and maybe have something that can make up the gap for some money at that particular position. And I think about it can kind of go two ways too. You know, I think about San Jose State with that pass heavy offense, and it's very attractive for receivers to come in, and they might forego some money to go play there. But basically the goal is to come in, do great for 1 year, and then go get paid somewhere else the following year. So you also have to balance that a little bit when you're in this kind of unofficial free agency market for those types of desires. When I look at some of the other commits, like Bobby Stewart, you know, he's a guy that told me he likes the country feel of Fresno. He wants to be at a place that has this coaching staff, and you know, it's a lot less about particularly playing time or style or money, and it's a lot more about, you know, what we're used to players wanting to go to schools for.
We've talked, it's a relative few overall, particularly in a football roster, they're going to make major money. The trouble is, of course, that relative few within the confines of that subset, that is where the difference makers are, right? So you say, well, it's not that many guys, but it's the ones that can tip the scale in your direction. And when I talk about linemen or whatever, I'm talking mainly about the ones that will slip through the cracks at, say, a P4, right? And then they're looking for something else. And maybe they say, hey, you know what, if Fresno State is more viable than maybe somebody else within the confines of the conference itself, which we're going to find out how that plays out. By the way, speaking of the conference itself, one of the things I wanted to talk about today, and there's just not going to be time to do it, is what the PAC is going to do with their own conference network, because it is something that has become a major issue. It was a major issue with the original Pac-12, the one that was put together that broke away, and it was one that kept the deal from being made with ESPN because ESPN wanted control of that network because of the amount of inventory when you have 12 schools. the amount of inventory that wasn't on or wasn't within the aegis of the national networks, and they wanted control of that because scheduling-wise, some of those games that they didn't think were going to be important at the start of the year were relegated to the Pac-12 network, and then ESPN thought a little bit later, it's better to put them on our network, and they couldn't do it. And that was one of the sticking points, and we talked about the econ professors and their valuation and all of that. So it is a very important aspect of what happens, and we're going to have to get into this because the Mountain West started distribution that was up on satellite and on cable and ultimately ended up just on the Internet. Now, just on the Internet, 25 years, you know, into the, or 26 years into the new millennium, it is so overwhelming that people, everybody's on the Internet. You don't need satellite or cable distribution anymore. So we need to talk about the valuation. We need to talk about inventory, all the monies involved there, how you hold on to inventory when you have three major carriers already taking slices of the pie inventory-wise, and you only have an eight-team or eight-school football conference. Those are discussions, Jackson, I want to have with you. There just isn't time to do it today, and I apologize to you for that, because what I want to finish with, because we're always out of time too quickly, is what you think Fresno State can do on the court tomorrow against a Grand Canyon school that beat both San Diego State and Utah State in the last week at home in Phoenix. Is this a game that now suddenly is out of the Bulldogs' reach, or is that not the case?
Grand Canyon is an interesting case because, I mean, they are on fire. I mean, those are two massive wins. They've also lost to Colorado State by 10 at home, and just like everyone else, it seems it got destroyed at the Pit at New Mexico, so it seems like there's some vulnerabilities there, but you know, when they're on, they're on. So I believe they're going to bring a pretty strong contingent of fans on the road, which will be interesting to see on Saturday. And first of all, Fresno State, they got to have Zion Collins at as close to full strength as possible to have a shot. I think he will play, and if he's on the court, the Bulldogs have a decent opportunity to hold him off, I think, at home. I think it probably depends on which Grand Canyon team shows up. For Fresno State, just about every game, I think it's going to come down to turnovers and three-point shooting. You know, if they're good in those two categories, as long as they're not in the Pit or in the Spectrum, I think they're going to pretty much be in the heat of it no matter what. And so as long as they accomplish those two things, they've got a shot to win this one.
As Matt, yesterday I'll ask you, were you impressed by the fact that the Bulldogs hung in there at Albuquerque, even though they really did not have a legitimate shot to win the game? They got it, you know, back into single digits at the end. They certainly made it respectable. Impressed about that, particularly with Collins out? Or do you say that once again, against upper echelon competition in their own conference, they just can't seem to hang? Where are you at? Are you somewhere in between?
Yeah, the final score definitely is nice to see, especially compared to everything else New Mexico has done in conference at home, beating everybody by 20-plus points. You do have to remember that the Bulldogs were down by 20 with 5 minutes left, so it could have very easily looked like that. But the Bulldogs did show some fight that some of those other teams didn't, which was nice, and especially without Collins. Now they turned the ball over 22 times without Collins, and you know, that could be a troublesome, whether you're at New Mexico or you're home against one of your more beatable teams in the conference. But I think given how difficult it is to play in New Mexico and the fact that they didn't have Zion, I think their performance was just fine. And it gives you enough to kind of stay afloat, try to recapture the momentum you had before. I think at New Mexico, at San Diego State, at Utah State, even at full strength, are probably three tasks. You know, maybe we'll throw Grand Canyon in there if Saturday doesn't go well. But those combinations of teams and home court advantages, I think Fresno State's not quite there yet. But that's still about 16, 17 games on your schedule you feel you should be competitive in, which is a whole lot of a different story than it was last year.
Is it an oversimplification, Jackson, to say right now that Fresno State is a team that when they're making threes, they look really good, but when they're not making threes, they just can't seem to win? Now, that can sound like a very basic comment, but let's be honest about it. If you are a legitimate threat consistently from three, you should be able to use that fear put into the minds of the opponent that you can slip screens, you can get layups, you can get dunks, you can get things because the defense is really focusing on stopping you from three, as opposed to somebody defensively saying, Fresno State blows hot and cold, we'll go ahead, play them straight up, we'll make sure that Jake doesn't get a lot of great looks, but we are not worried about Fresno State consistently beating us from three because they just don't seem to be that consistent shooting the ball, so we'll take our chances. We will not change our defense, change our structure. Which one is it with Fresno State right now? Are they a legitimate up threat that teams are going to change their defense? Or is it, you know what, if the Bulldogs are hot, fine, but we're banking on the fact if we play them straight up, they're not going to beat us from three on most nights.
Yeah, I think it goes hand in hand. You finish a game, and if you're 5-for-20 or 8-for-20, you look at the final score and think about that 9-point difference, give or take either way, that you might have had. It's a hypothetical number, but I think it really is the flow of the game. If you start hitting threes, the defenses have to hug the perimeter a little bit farther, and then that dribble drive offense really spreads things out. You've got four out, got your one guy in the inside, and then if Wilson is a factor inside, then they also have to account for that. They can hug in. So it's an offense where you got to have a couple different threats going to really maximize your potential. And if a couple threes fall, then teams have to adjust on the fly and you really get going.
Mentioned over and over again that the last great, great 49er team to win the Super Bowl, which would have been the team at the end of the 94 season, they had Ricky Waters there as a running back, and Waters was a threat anytime he touched the ball to go the distance. He was that talented a player. And so when he was on field play, the defense had to change what they were doing. That left other people open. That left Brent Jones open at tight end. It could leave the wide receiver opposite Jerry Rice open because they were so worried about Ricky Waters. Waters left for Philly for money after he won the Super Bowl, the old Tim McDonald line, everybody wants to win one ring. Let's see who wants to win the second, third, or whatever. Ricky Waters wanted his ring, then he wanted his money. And Derek Lavelle, who was a good running back from Oregon, replaced Ricky Waters, had similar stats as far as yards per carry average, but he didn't scare the defense. So when Lavelle was out there, the defense was able to play fairly straight up. This is what you need. You need to scare the defense. How many Bulldogs really scare the defense right now, Jackson, from distance?
Well, you certainly count on Jake Heidbreder. I think there's games where sometimes he doesn't have it and they can sink off of him maybe a little bit, but typically you're anticipating him. And I think David Douglas, in most cases, he's a guy that puts fear. In between him and Cameron Foss, you kind of got two guys that can be hot or cold, and they can be pretty big difference makers. It might only be a few shots, but if they're hot, again, it spreads out the defense. And if they're cold, it really takes away kind of that third or fourth option that this team might have on as far as the offense goes. But if you've got Gorey's kind of hit or miss a little bit with the three-point shots, if you've got three or four guys on the perimeter that are making three-pointers, that's a tough offense to defend. But if you've only got one guy, really lets you sink in and guard the drive and take care of the interior a little bit more.
Well, if you want the proof of the home run hitter and how it can really alter a defense as opposed to a grinder who might have decent stats but not scaring people, just watch when Steph Curry's on the court what's going on defensively, and watch two guys on the ball right away, everybody else panicked, and how open other players are. And that's the one thing, if the Bulldogs could get to you, if all the Bulldogs are missing is a Steph Curry. That's all they're missing, Jackson. That's the insightful commentary I have for you. If they can get consistently where defenses have to change everything, they have to wait and see what Fresno State is going to do. They're that fearful. Then you're going to get the ancillary benefit. Right now it is, as you're referencing, wait and see. If the Bulldogs happen to be hot, we'll worry about it, but otherwise we're not. The good news is they seem like a lot of clubs to shoot better at home. So as I let you go, are they going to win tomorrow in your opinion? Because this is probably the greatest challenge remaining at home this year.
Yeah, I'm looking at ESPN Analytics, and they've got Fresno State at about a 35% shot. I think that's about fair. Maybe I give the Bulldogs a little bit closer to 50-50, but it's going to be tough. If Grand Canyon plays their A game, I think they're a better team. But, I think between the home court advantage and especially if Zion's healthy, it should be a very competitive game.
Again, the women at 2 against Colorado State, the men at 4:30. Games on Mountain West Network. Hope you're out there. It should be a good doubleheader. Jackson's let you go. Appreciate it. You got a special deal on the board starting right now, correct?
Yeah, we got a deal to join for VIP. If you want to try it out, it's just $1, and you'll get your first 2 months for that $1. So hope people check it out, get in. You'll get access to a lot of this transfer portal and recruiting coverage that's going on right now, and should just about take you into spring football.
Well worth it. In 10 seconds or less, who are we going to see in the Super Bowl in Levi's in 2 weeks? When we talk next week, who's going to be there?
I'm picking Patriots and Seahawks.
All right, I'm going with the 49ers. All right. They're going to be there. They may be parking cars, but damn it, they're going to be there. All right, Jess, I'll talk to you next week, my friend. Take care. Hope people visit the board. All right. Our good friend Jackson Moore. We'll take a break, come back, talk about the schedule, hand it off to Phil. This on a Friday is the Bulldog Hour on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 254 coming with Phil on the show. Hand it off. Phil, the full 3 hours today of an outstanding show behind the bench. Tell you about the schedule, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his business, Precision Civil Engineering, in just a moment. But first, one more reminder about our friends at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. They have the new Zinger Chicken Sandwich ready to go right now. It's a crispy, hand-breaded chicken filet. It's seasoned just right and served hot on a toasted bun with cool, crisp lettuce and creamy sauce that hits every craving. Sounds great right now, as a matter of fact. It's bold, it's spicy, and it's finger-looking good, as always, at KFC. So whether you crave the spice or just the great taste, Zinger delivers that with the delicious KFC crunch you love. Get there in a big hurry. Pick up the Zinger Chicken Sandwich today at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Also, a lot of other great deals going on there at those local KFCs, including the $10 eight-piece or eight-tender offer on Tuesday. So check that out at your local KFCs. All right, as far as the schedule, I want to thank Ed Dunkel, we do every day, for his great sponsorship station. Again, Precision Civil Engineering is fine business, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. Ed, great benefactor for the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State. Ed, a proud graduate. A lot of those grads right now come to work for Ed at Precision Civil Engineering, and when he's in the fundraising mode, it's always to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students at Fresno State. It has worked beautifully over the years, and we commend Ed for everything he does for his alma mater and for this valley of ours. Now, as far as the schedule goes, tonight, Sharks hosting the Rangers up in San Jose. 6:30 pre, 7 o'clock, they drop the puck on 790. Lakers are back in action tomorrow against the Mavs. And then, of course, for us, the feature for the next few days, the two NFC and AFC title games start at noon in Denver, noon our time on Westwood One, with the Patriots and the Broncos. Very, very cold. 10 degrees today in Denver. I mentioned in Minneapolis where the Warriors are to play. They're going to be there 5 days. It is -8 as a high as that tremendously chilling storm comes across the Midwest and goes all the way to the Southeast and the Northeast. It's going to really be brutal for about 2/3 of the country. So it's going to be very cold in Denver. It won't be that cold in Seattle, but it's going to be noisy. It's going to be raucous. It's going to be difficult for the Rams. Should be a terrific game. That's the second part of the doubleheader, the NFC title game. They'll kick it off at Lumen Field in Seattle around 3:30. So we'll have both of those games for you on Sunday. And again, we'll have the Super Bowl for you in a couple of weeks from Levi's. Jackson made his pick. I think it's going to be New England. And I think the Rams are going to find a way to win in Seattle. And I know that Ralph Wood is saying, Tony, damn it, you're doing it again. You've been trying to jinx the Rams all year long. You almost succeeded in Chicago by picking them, and you're doing it again. Woody, you see through me. That's all I can tell you. We'll see how it plays out, and we look forward to the games on our air on Sunday. And, of course, Phil will be talking about that at length in just a couple of minutes. As far as Phil's shows go, it always is a terrific listen for you. 3 to 6, unless play-by-play moves it around. Behind the bench, you can always reach Phil on the Lee's Air hotline. That is 559-320-1430. And don't forget, on Thursdays, Phil is at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedicki in El Paso across from River Park. You have the great conversation of Phil's show. You have some terrific eats and the best furniture on the planet. Nothing like it in all of California. Stop by El Paso across from River Park. Phil is there 3 to 6 on Thursday. Any day, stop in and check out the great furniture at Fashion Furniture. And Rod, another guy, a terrific benefactor for sports for many, many years across this valley. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, TDAD1 at ATT.net, TDAD, the number 1 at ATT.net. First names are fine. Don't forget, go to the website, 1430ESPNFresno.com. You get the live links and podcasts there. Also, download the app. Makes it a lot easier to listen. And then finally, our good friend Paul Metters with his two outstanding shows on our sister station, The Deuce 790, on Wednesdays from 6 to 7 in the evening. Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. We also have play-by-play during the year, basketball and baseball with Scott Bemis for Fresno Pacific. Really appreciate everything that university does for us as well. And then finally, on Saturday mornings, live from First Ring Sports, the long-running show that Paul Metters has on 1430, 10 a.m. to noon, from First Ring Sports, Central Valley Sports Report. Thanks to Jorge. Thanks to Jackson. Phil is coming up, and again, remind you, it's 11:30 the pre on Sunday. The doubleheader, CBS and Fox, of course, have the games, but we have the radio feeds for you. We'll talk about it on Monday. Phil has a lot to tell you about. Give him a call on that Lee's Air hotline. We'll see you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend. Be careful about the fog. This is KFIG Fresno.